Amen. I invite you to be seated. The Old Testament reading is from the book of prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, beginning in verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased the joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. As you are able, please rise in body or in spirit for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem. Because he was descended from the house and family of David, he went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Good evening and Merry Christmas, everybody. Knot holes and snapshots. The knot holes in the fence, you could look through and see a little bit of the baseball game. Camden Yards, it's kind of like when you're going down there at right field and you have the scoreboard and you can kind of peer around the corner, see a little bit of the game, hear the noise, but you don't quite see everything that's going on. White spaces in the Bible have a lot of questions in them. You know, we have a lot of questions about how things went the way they did and what went on after. You know, we see an event or hear about an event in the Bible. One can hardly read Scripture without whispering to yourself, at least, "I wonder." Like, I wonder whether Eve ever ate any more fruit. I wonder whether Jonah ever ate fish. I wonder if Noah slept very well on the ark with all those animals. I wonder whether Jeremiah had any friends at all. And how about a couple for Mary and Joseph? What did your family do for fun? Wouldn't you love to know that? Did Jesus have any hobbies? What was he like as a teenager? And I wonder what happened next in some of Jesus' parables. You know, we get just a little snippet in those parables, like the prodigal son, you know, the younger one and the older one. I wonder how they really got along once Dad wasn't around. And how about the Good Samaritan? You think he was ever reimbursed? But nothing stirs questions like the birth of Christ. Like, how does immaculate conception really work? Did the innkeeper ever find out who he referred to the stable? Did that message ever get back to him? And did the shepherds wind up humming the tune that they heard the angels singing? What was it like for the wise men to kneel before a child? Lots of questions in the Bible. Snapshots, not holes. The birth itself raises a lot of questions, like what was on Mary and Joseph's mind when all of this was going on, when they were that long journey and then made their way into the stable. What were they thinking? What was going on? And then one that I've heard people ask, a lot of children ask this, did Jesus cry when he was born? Mary asked the angel, you know, when the angel came to her and announced what was going to happen to her, and she asked the question, how can this be? How can it be? How can God's power and presence in our lives work the way God is saying that it's going to work? How does that go? Especially before we get into it. Once we look backwards, we can see it. But before we get there, not so sure. So you may not have the same questions that Mary and Joseph had. Maybe they didn't have as many as you have right now. You might be full of questions. We've all had questions at some time in our lives going along life's journey. We've stared into the stars with doubt, and we've asked hard questions. We've wondered how it was all going to work out. How is it going to work out? Sometimes we can't see. Each of us knows what it's like to search the night for a light. Perhaps it was outside an emergency room or by the side of the road, or maybe at a cemetery. We've wondered why God does what God does. We've wondered how this all fits into God's plan. You wonder whether there's a plan behind this turn of events in your life. Just like Mary and Joseph, we don't see the whole picture. You know, it's kind of good to know that they didn't, because that's really our state of affairs, isn't it? Many knot holes and snapshots that will eventually open up. We'll eventually know some of these answers. It'll all come clear at one point. But in the meantime, what we want to hear from God is what Mary and Joseph, I'm sure, wanted to hear too, which is, God, are you still with us? God, are you still with us here tonight? And we hear what Mary and Joseph must have heard. I am here with you. I am right here tonight. I am right here in your midst. And this, your questions are good. Keep asking them. Keep asking them. Keep seeking and finding. I knew a young woman a year or so ago, met her and was talking with her and heard her talk about her struggles with God. You know, the whole idea of God. And she said when she was young, she used to fill up whole journals, you know, with her prayers and thoughts and insights, her ideas about God. She had faith when she was younger, but as time went on, as life went on, got harder for her. And she just started seeing a lot of gaps, a lot of places where she couldn't really understand where God was. So nothing in her life was working well about a year ago. She was fired from a couple of jobs over the course of a couple of years. Boyfriends were coming and going. She didn't have one. She was anxious and unhappy. She said this. She said, "God complicates my life with thoughts about forgiving and trying and letting go, and I'm sick and tired of it." She said, "At this point, I'm an atheist. I don't want to believe in God at all. It's just too much trouble." She put God out of her life so it wouldn't be as complicated. However, she was saying all of this while tears were welling up in her eyes. Her body, her face was giving a different message than her words. The idea of coming to trust in God again was never fully out of her mind. It was easier to simply go her own way. Something in her, though, wouldn't let it go. She didn't give up. Her questions drove her. Quietly, she started coming to church. Late last fall, she came to church last Christmas. She started tentatively sitting in the back, taking it in, starting to, you know, let those questions move her a little bit further, actually towards faith. Her faith was rekindled. She says she found God again. Maybe it is that God found her again. So there's lots of Christmas prayers. You know, you may be praying a prayer tonight for somebody that's like this young woman. You may be praying a prayer tonight because you're like her. But I think about these wonderful songs that we sing. "Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray." And the favorite of mine is the prayer from a few years ago. "I pray that you'll be our eyes," it goes like that, "and watch us where we go, and help us to be wise in times when we don't know. In let this be our prayer when we lose our way, lead us to a place, guide us to your grace, to a place where we'll be safe. Lead us from the stuck places that we have, where we can finally start to hear the resounding yes of the angels and the shepherds, to join our voices with theirs, to receive God's resounding yes to our questions." That's what we're looking for, is God's response. You know, are we just saying these questions out into the night, or are we going to get a response here? To get there, we need to follow God's guidance on the way, and it's never straight. You know, it's never a straight line. We'd like to think it would be. And C.S. Lewis is The Last Battle from the Chronicles of Narnia. Queen Lucy says, "In our world, too, a stable once held something inside it that was bigger than our whole world." Imagine that. It's a little stable. Mary and Joseph, little tiny baby, something very small that's actually at the same time bigger than everything. What took place there was bigger than our whole world, bigger than what the world has substituted for God, bigger than all our mistakes, bigger than our miscues, our drop balls, our zigzags, bigger than all of our questions, friends. Ponder this, that the answer that God chooses to give to us for our questions is Jesus. And the way God wants us to receive his answer is through Mary and Joseph. Through their love for each other. I'd like to bring that in tonight. Think about Mary and Joseph's love for each other and their love for Jesus. Perhaps something bigger than our whole world happened when Joseph brought Mary to that stable that night and her baby was born. So here's a big question. What if Mary and Joseph, like Adam and Eve before them, were the couple who represented all humanity? They represent us. And the birth of their son, our Savior Jesus, was the sign, seal, and public witness of God's commitment not only to them, but to the whole world forever and ever. So what took place in the stable truly did have something inside it that was bigger than all of our questions. bigger than our whole world. So on Christmas, we receive God's pledge of love. I take you for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. Those are the familiar words from our wedding ceremony. What if we took those familiar words and applied them to our own relationship with God? God saying to us, I take you for better or worse, for richer, for poorer, in life and in death, in life beyond death. That's the kind of love that God is pledging to us tonight through Mary and Joseph and their baby Jesus. Jesus is the sign of that love, the sign of that promise, the sign of that eternal yes that's behind all of our questions. For the mystery of reality entered history very gently by a human channel and shows the character of perfect love. This is perfect love within the lives of humanity, giving us a love to hold on to, a truth, and also a way and a life. Nothing that took place on Christmas is more significant than the quietness and simplicity of its beginning and the birth of Christ and the coming of the shepherds and later the Magi. The stable finally opens out from its homey and simple beginnings to reach into our deepest places, our places where we're most hurting and most in need, sending us healing, sending us God's energy to love, transform, to give us the richness that God wants us to receive tonight. That supreme event brings transcendence and nearness at the same time. For in the back of the stable lay something so very small, so amazingly big at the same time. For there lay Jesus alone in his bed, peering out to us here tonight through the shadow of the cross, with eyes burning for love, love for you and me. That's what tonight is about, God's eternal pledge of love, perfect love, love that's not going to give up on us, love that's not going to quit, love that's not going to end, love that is here for everyone. Know this, he will never love you more than he does right now. He loves you completely, and he can never love you less than that either. For his love is perfect love, brought to you as the eternal symbol and presence of God's promise of love for you and me, made real in Jesus. It's for us to go towards what we don't fully understand, what we only can see snapshots of, and looking through, you know, the knot holes. We see in a glass dimly, as Paul says. We don't see it all yet. But somehow it gets a little clearer tonight, doesn't it? A little baby is born, and his parents, Mary and Joseph, somehow convey to us a love that we've been hungering for, that we need so desperately in our own lives and in our world. So go to the stable and accept the part that cries out for God to meet your need. Know that he's there to meet every need that you have, however big or small, to relinquish our fears to God, to accept God's eternal pledge of love for us, and to say yes to God as God is saying yes to us tonight. Thanks be to God.